All right. So we are just at the beginning of God's economics. This is Unit 1 of God's economics. Unit 1 is Biblical Pictures of Provision, Part 1, Eden to Goshen. So we're going to look at God's original design and then also how God provides for his covenant people. So the scripture that is highlighted at the beginning of Unit 1 is from Proverbs 3, verse 33. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to be one who is the dwelling of the righteous. I want to present or create a dwelling of righteousness for God to dwell with me and bless me. And I think all of us, really deep down, we all have that same desire. So let's start this course understanding that God's blessing is on the dwelling of the righteous, and that our job is to understand how do we attain and become that righteous one that God can put his blessing upon. Well, I have found with these things, the best place to start is in the beginning. It always traces back. If you want to know how we got to where we are, go back to where it all started. So point A of Unit 1 is Eden. That's the Garden of Eden, a free gift from God with everything multiplying after its kind. That's how God designed the world to be. That was God's original design. He created everything to multiply after its kind, and he provided for it by a supernatural mist and a river that flowed out of the Garden of Eden. There wasn't, for years, up until the days of Noah, up until the flood of Noah, there was not water falling from the sky that we call rain. Instead, God provided for the earth all that he had created through a mist that covered the earth, like morning dew, but even springs from the earth that would mist and water all that he created. But let's look at what he created and how he created it to be. So the first scripture there is Genesis 1, verses 11 and 12. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Hallelujah. So pause and consider with me for a moment. How many apples are in one apple? Just think about that. Well, if you know, if you've cut into an apple, you know that the average apple has about 5 seeds in it, right? So how many apples is that? Well, 5 seeds is not just 5 apples. 5 seeds is potentially 5 apple trees. So one apple has 5 more apple trees inside of it. If everything is working according to God's design, in God's design, there's no crop failure. So in God's design, every seed will bring forth fruit. So in one apple with 5 seeds, you've got 5 more apple trees. Well, each apple tree produces between 500 and 1,000 apples per season. I looked up these statistics. These are the averages today. So one apple is producing 5 trees that each produce 500 apples per season, and that's only 1 year. The next year, you know, that the apples are picked, and the next year it produces 500 more. And the year after that, it produces 500 more. So in one single fruit that God created, there are orchards for life. Orchards for life, more food, more apples than you could ever possibly dream of. This is the way that God created the world to be. He created all sorts of different types of vegetation and fruit, bearing fruit after its kind. The seed is already within it so that it can multiply and multiply and multiply and multiply. It is self-sustaining, self-multiplying. And it grows because God has created the perfect atmosphere and environment for it to continue to reproduce itself. Well, the next scripture about this very same thing is from Genesis 2, verses 5 through 10. So, when no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. So take note, God created all of this. Man doesn't exist yet. God knows where he's going with this, but man doesn't exist yet. So verse 6, a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. So the passage goes on to describe more about the rivers and where they go, and that's a major, there's a whole other teaching there, but we're trying to stay focused. So this course is especially in these two, the first two units, we're going to cover a lot of content. And to some extent, I'm assuming that you've already read your Bible a time or two and that you understand the basic premise behind some of the stories. We're going to gloss over them because I'm really pulling out the elements that specifically pertain to God's economics and God's provision. So like in a little while, we're going to talk about Cain and Abel. I'm assuming you already know who Cain and Abel are. We're not going to go into the whole story, but I need to give you some element of how God's economics is reflected in that story. So there might be times in this course or in these units in particular where you're going to have to go back to your Bible and read the story again to make sure that you're understanding how looking at the scripture through the lens of God's economics, we're drawing something out from the other story. So like the rivers of God and how God is providing for the river, that concept, you can trace that all the way through the Bible to guess where? The very last chapter, the river that flows out of the city of God in the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. And as excited as I am about that, we're not going down that rabbit trail right now because we're staying focused on God's provision for mankind and God's economics and how God created it. So what we're seeing is that a mist is watering all of this creation that God has created. God has made things to multiply after their kind, and God has made rivers and freshwater rivers to make all of creation self-sustaining according to his design. It is still sustained by God actively, but it is also designed by God to self-multiply and to self-sustain. It's a beautiful, wonderful creation. And you know, even, I don't know if these types of things are interesting to you, but I remember years ago, BBC came out with a series called Planet Earth, and it's this high definition look at creation. Now, I don't know if those people are believers or not, but for me, it was just so marvelous to take this high definition, close up look at God's creation. Whether they see it as God's creation or not, it is. I don't care what they think. I know it's God's creation. And even though through series like that, sometimes we see how creation has fallen and now all of the creatures are, you know, fighting for resources, but it still gives that picture of the marvelous, beautiful, amazing design of an intelligent creator that made all of these things for a purpose. And we're going to get into that purpose in just a second. So God created this amazing creation, this amazing world with all of these amazing self-multiplying fruits and trees and plants and beasts and birds and all of these things that God created. And then he's like, I need somebody to look after this for me. What am I going to do? No, God knew what he was going to do. So God created man. Male and female, he created them. Why did he create mankind? To rule over the creation that he had created. He needed workers to work the creation that he had created and to keep it in his order, in order and according to his design. He needed mankind to manage all of this multiplication. So mankind also had a job. He said, look, you got to go forth and be fruitful and multiply because I brought food. I brought a lot of food, and if you don't multiply, all this food is going to go bad and go to waste. So, please be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and eat all of this marvelous, wonderful food that I created just for you. So, God created mankind. Let's look at the scriptures pertaining to that. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And those of you who know, yes, God is speaking in the plural. He's not saying, let me, but again, that's another tangent. We got to stay focused on God's economics. You got to love the word, but you also sometimes you got to dig in with a certain lens and stay focused on that lens. So let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God has given them easy pickings. Here, I've created you. I've brought all this food. All you have to do ever, if you're hungry, just walk over to a tree, pluck something off, take a bite. You'll have more than you could ever possibly desire. There was food galore. There was abundance. There was provision. So God created mankind to keep, to tend his creation and to eat and consume. He created the food and he created the eater of the food. And God saw that it was good. So we keep going in the scripture, Genesis 1, 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. So notice that. In the beginning, mankind, we were originally designed by God to be fruitarians. That means you eat only fruit. So plants with seed in it, that's a fruit. And trees that produce fruit, that's a fruit. So originally, mankind, we were fruitarians. So before you start getting all crazy and saying that I told you to become a fruitarian, that is not what I'm talking about. This is not a fruitarian cookbook. This is not suggesting that that's designed for us now. Jesus had things to say about making all foods clean. We're going through the process of going back to the beginning and understanding what God's original design and what changes and modifications have been made since then. So it's not until the days of Noah that we become meat eaters. And I'm not saying that you should become a fruitarian now, but that's how it started. So God keeps going. This is the difference because some people will think it was vegetarian, but actually that's not fully true either. That doesn't happen until after the flood, which we will get to. But again, we're going through one step at a time. So right now, We're still in the Garden of Eden, and mankind, by God's command, God's saying, look, I've given you all the fruit. Eat as much fruit as you can possibly ever dream of. It's all yours. It's all yours for food. I've given it to you as a free gift of abundance towards you and blessing and love towards you because I'm God and I love you, and that's awesome. That's, you know, me paraphrasing God. So we're going to pick up at verse 30. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given, here it is, every green plant for food. There you have it. So mankind wasn't eating the green plants yet. The beasts and the birds and the creatures and the crawlers, they were eating the green plants for food. That's what God originally designed. So they were the salad eaters, okay? So we were fruitarians. The beasts and the birds and the creepy crawly things, they were the eating the salad. Great, okay? No dressing on that. Thank you. Great. So, and it was so. This was God's design, and it was so. Verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So it was good when God created all the self-multiplying stuff. But when God put mankind and all the stuff together, he saw, hey, this is very good. And there are other elements of what make it very good. But you see how God's design, the pinnacle of God's design, was mankind to tend and keep the creation that he had created. But this also gives us our first glimpse into the generosity of God. God, in 6 days, he did all the work. He did all of it. Mankind didn't do a single thing to create creation. Nothing. He brought nothing to the table. Nada. Zip. Zilch. Nothing. God did all the work. God created everything. And then you know what he did? Did he keep it all to himself and say, oh, look at this awesome creation that I created. I'm just going to like look at it and put it on a shelf and be like, look at what an awesome creator I am. No, that's not what God did. He looked at creation and he gave it all away as a free gift. And not only did he give it as a free gift, but you got to understand, he gave it away as a free gift, omnisciently knowing that mankind was about to mess it all up. Wow. I mean, that's really generous. These are some of the things that in our generosity, we get all stuck on of like, well, if I give this person money, they're just going to go buy drugs with it. You know what? God did all the work. And he gave it away as a free gift to people who didn't deserve it and to people who he knew were going to take it and make it into a disaster. But even so, at his creation, at his design, he took great delight in designing it. He took great delight in creating it. He took great delight in creating mankind, and he took great delight in giving it away. So Proverbs chapter 8, we see wisdom personified. And wisdom is speaking in these verses. Again, this is a whole other thing. This is so different from the creation accounts of other ancient civilizations. But this is what the Bible says about God when he was creating all of this marvelous, wonderful creation that he created. Proverbs 8, starting at verse 27. When he, meaning God, when he established the heavens, I was there. Now, this is wisdom personified. But guess what? We know from the New Testament who is the wisdom of God. That's Jesus. Jesus has become for us the wisdom of God. That is our sanctification, redemption, and righteousness. Hallelujah. Jesus is the wisdom of God. So when God established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him. like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. Hallelujah. God's design is good. God's design is very good. God's design is all-inclusive. It is perfect. It is self-multiplying. It is abundant. There is no lack in God's design. And God rejoices to give it all to us as a free gift. And we rejoice to consider Jesus was there as God was creating all of this creation, and our hearts long with his for the day that the new heavens and the new earth will be established and God's order for his creation will be reinstituted and reestablished. And we will in that day rejoice with him forever in his creation, enjoying everything that he created for us to rule over, to tend and to keep, to enjoy, to eat, to consume, and to delight in. We will delight in him, with him, in the world to come in that way. This is just the beginning picture of the abundance of God and his design for God's economics.